That song is called The East is Red, and it was China's de facto national anthem during the Cultural Revolution. From about 1966 to 1976, China's leader Mao Zedong enforced a brutal agenda. Everything was rationed. Millions of people were forced out of the cities and into the countryside, where food was even more scarce. The government controlled people's movements, their livelihoods, even their thoughts. And everything was propaganda, posters, clothing, songs.
The East is red, the sun has risen, China has given rise to a Mao Zedong.
Scott Seligman is a Washington, D.C. writer who lived for several years in China.
On behalf of the people, he has brought good fortune to the people. He is the great savior of the people.
The original song was actually about love and food.
That's Sasha Gong, a former Chinese political dissident and Scott's friend.
It was about cabbage hearts, as a matter of fact. And then a very patriotic, somewhat obsequious Chinese man wrote new lyrics to it that sang the praises of Chairman Mao.
Sasha and Scott met several years ago and collaborated on writing projects. When they would get together, they ended up in Scott's kitchen, cooking and talking about Sasha's experience growing up during the Cultural Revolution. At one point, Scott suggested the two of them turn her memories and culinary skills into a book, The Cultural Revolution Cookbook.
She thought I was crazy.
I said, those are painful memories to me. But as long as I can add some stories in it, yeah.
Sasha has lived in the U.S. since 1987, and she got a Ph.D. from Harvard. But her childhood in China was a hard one.
I was 10 when the Cultural Revolution was launched. My grandfather was accused of being a counter-revolutionary, so I was sent to countryside living in the village.
Sasha and her family worked on farms, but the food all went to the government. Her family, like so many others, was left to fend for itself, and Sasha learned to cook with whatever she could find. In the cookbook, she shares the peasant recipes of that time and how food kept families together despite a revolution that was pulling them apart.
We're making no apologies for the Cultural Revolution in this book. It was a horrible time. A lot of people suffered. This is a celebration of the people who triumphed through this horrible time when there wasn't enough food and there wasn't freedom and all those awful things were happening. But somehow they managed to make do with what they had. They made remarkably tasty dishes with very, very basic and rudimentary materials and ingredients.
Ingredients anyone can get. No need to find a specialty Chinese market. These culinary delights are as close as your local supermarket. Sasha and Scott take me shopping for ingredients to cook up three classic Chinese dishes.
All right, let's grab a cart.
Okay, we need scallions and cilantro.
Tofu.
I think we're going for pork shoulder now.
Just get the soy sauce, any soy sauce.
Ginger.
Sesame oil.
Eggs.
We don't need to buy sugar. We don't need to buy salt. And we don't need to buy a stick of cinnamon, but we need some wine.
And Coca-Cola. That's it. How much was it?
$40.97.
So for $40, not bad.
And the meal will feed about six people. And with that, we're off to Scott's apartment to put their simple recipes to the test.
All right, so what tools do we need to cook?
Well, actually, there's a cookbook out there that has something like 40 pages devoted to how to select, season, and choose a wok. We have about a paragraph on that, because in the countryside, you cooked with it whatever the hell you had.
Yeah.
We actually are going to use a flat-bottom pan today as well as a wok. It's really not that big a deal.
Remind us what we're cooking today, Sasha.
Actually, we are cooking braised pork.
With soy sauce.
With soy sauce.
And now I'm going to cut up the meat.
Okay.
This is pork shoulder, very much marbled. So, cut it through. Cut it through. See? Very easy to cut it through.
Kind of big chunks.
Big chunks.
Next, Sasha takes a large ginger root, skin on, and places it on the counter. She smashes it with the side of her meat cleaver.
Now, you turn on the stove. The pork is fatty, so you don't need much oil, but you do need oil to, smooth the pan.
Sasha then drops the ginger in the pan, and a sweet aroma fills the kitchen. And then In goes the pork to sear. Then she adds sugar, soy sauce, rice wine, and a stick of cinnamon.
And then we turn the fire into low medium and let it cook.
How long does it cook for?
About 45 minutes. And it's important not to spend too much time.
That was important in selecting these dishes. You wanted them to be things that were easy?
Chinese restaurant food, a lot of what you see here in the United States, even at better Chinese restaurants, is a much prissier operation than this. This was country cooking. This was get it in the pot and heat it up and get it in everybody so that they've got enough strength to go work in the fields.
Yeah. And still tasty.
Right.
And this, we should say, you write in the book, was Chairman Mao's favorite dish?
Oh, yes. And Mao developed the habit when he was commanding the army in the Civil War. He believed meat was good for your brain. So each time he was before a big battle, said, okay, cook me the braised meat with soy sauce and I need my brain food.
Chairman Mao's brain food is now nice and tender, and Sasha takes it off the stove. She piles a heaping mound of the braised pork into a big blue and white bowl.
All right. Finished. That's it. Done.
We get to eat now, right?
We get
yes.
to eat.
Who would like something to drink?
Tofu and egg custard are also served. Then we take our seats at the table and dig in.
Let's do it. Oh, we each have chopsticks. Okay.
Yep. Let me have your rice bowl.
We start with an egg custard that Sasha remembers from her childhood.
It's great. It's really savory. It's really light.
Thank you.
The texture's perfect.
It's just egg and the water and the salt and a little bit sesame oil, nothing else.
Okay, I'm going for the pork.
Now, which is which?
Sasha prepared two versions. The first was the traditional pork braised with soy sauce and rice wine, topped with cilantro.
Oh, that is so nice.
Thank you.
The second version was made with Coca-Cola, which Sasha says is a fine substitute if you can't find rice wine.
Different.
Different.
Tastes different than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I like the traditional one better. Because am I allowed to have more?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It's a meal Sasha Gong has made hundreds of times before.
When you sit down and you eat this food now, in 2012, what do you think of? What images come to mind?
Well, family time.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that much food, you have family and friends coming in. It's something about humanity. It's hard to suppress. You want friendship, love, and...
And you want pork.
And you want pork.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, gosh, we were hungry. Well, hungry. In that time, you know, how government tried to prevent people from gathering. And if you have 3 or 4 people gathering, might be anti-government activity. You know, when people gather, over food.
This is such a painful time. I don't imagine there are a lot of fond memories that you associate with this period of time. Focusing on it, writing a book about it, must have been strange.
Well, it's... I went through a lot of bad time. But you know, one thing about human beings, they always survive and celebrate life. And food is one of the major ways to do that.
There's a complicated sense of nostalgia in her recollections of that chapter. Scott says that's not unusual for her generation, now far enough away from the Cultural Revolution to look back on the small moments worth remembering.
In the last 20 years or so, China has seen a resurgence in some ways of interest in the Cultural Revolution. There are Cultural Revolution-themed restaurants in just about any large city in China. And these are places where people who were sent down to the countryside go, in some cases to have reunions with others who were sent to the same places. And they relive their past. It's not a happy past entirely, but that's really not the point. It's their past.
Well, thank you very much for cooking with me and sharing this part of your history with me. Thank you to Scott.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Letting us into your home.
Oh, it's my great pleasure.
Before we leave, we ask Sasha if she remembers any of the music from that era. She says yes. That song, The East is Red, is seared into her memory. But she refuses to sing the communist lyrics. She wants to sing us the original version about love and food. Again, Sasha Gong, choosing to remember her past her way.
芝麻油白菜心要吃豆角嘛炒
Sesame oil and cabbage heart. When you prepare string beans, you have to take out the string. If I don't see you for 3 days, I miss you to death. You're my dear, dear lover.
To try your hand at some of Sasha and Scott's recipes from the Cultural Revolution Cookbook, go to our website, npr.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed this week by Elaine Heinzman and produced by Peter Breslow, Ned Wharton, Claudine Abade, Gemma Waters, Hansi Lo Wong, Chris Benderev, Connor Donovan, Amy Held, and Jacob Margolis. Our interns are Andrew Fishman and Sam Collins. Barry Hardiman and Courtney Dorning edited this week. Our technical director is Burke Hun. Kim Oleski is our reference librarian. Melissa Goh is our web producer. Our show was produced today by Tom Bullock and edited by Deborah George. Our supervising producer is Sarah Lucy Oliver. Bridget Kelly is the senior supervising producer of Weekend Edition. I'm Rachel Martin.